The Trust Women Clinic in Oklahoma City is one of three abortion providers in the state.
Do you have an appointment for today? Thank you.
A security guard lets patients in and out as receptionists field calls. Katie Nutter is the clinic's advocacy director.
You know, we tell every patient, you know, we want to be able to help you make whatever choice is best for you, and that nobody, either us or the people outside or their family or partner or whoever, can make this choice for them.
There are no local abortion providers, so the clinic flies in doctors 2 to 3 times a week, and they comply with some of the strictest abortion laws in the country. And yet, it was an Oklahoma court case that set a crucial precedent for legalizing abortion in the United States. That case was Skinner v. Oklahoma.
Skinner was the first case to link personal liberty with the idea of procreation. It is the first case to begin the process of creating a personal right to make decisions for yourself about whether or not to have a child.
That's Rick Tepker, a professor of constitutional law at the University of Oklahoma. Skinner was Jack Skinner, an Oklahoma man convicted of robbery for the third time in 1934.
Essentially, Jack Skinner was convicted and sentenced to be sterilized. And so he challenges the fate of mandatory sterilization and takes that case all the way to the Supreme Court, where he prevails.
Skinner was sentenced under Oklahoma's Habitual Criminal Sterilization Act. The Three Strikes Law was rooted in eugenics, a widespread social movement based on a false science claiming certain traits, like the propensity to commit a crime, were hereditary.
This eugenics idea that we're going to improve the human race, or at least the American population, by getting rid of people and their ability to procreate.
The Supreme Court ruled on Skinner in 1942. In order to understand the ruling and how it connects to Roe v. Wade, you have to understand the times. Oklahoma and many other states passed sterilization laws around the same time Adolf Hitler was rising to power in Germany. That's Hitler speaking at a rally in 1932, before he started invading other countries, before America entered World War II, and long before the American public realized how the dictator used eugenics to justify the near extermination of Jews and other groups. According to Victoria Norse, a law professor in Washington, D.C., that realization changed the American public's opinion of sterilization laws. It also influenced Supreme Court Justice William Douglas, who wrote the majority opinion for Skinner.
The events of the day, I think, had a lot of influence on the justices at the time.
Norse spent years researching Skinner for a book.
Lawyers read cases and they often don't pay attention to their context, because we read them as providing doctrines, okay? And I looked at the year and I said, we're at war. And I knew something interesting was going to be up with this. And so I traveled to Oklahoma to see if there were any records. And I went down there almost every summer for 5 years.
Norse says that the right to make decisions about procreation doesn't come from Douglas's legal argument. The court ruled Oklahoma's sterilization law violated the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment because it didn't apply to all crimes, just some. In other words, it discriminated. But at the very beginning of his opinion, Douglas wrote these two sentences. This case touches a sensitive and important area of human rights. Oklahoma deprives certain individuals of a right which is basic to the perpetuation of a race, the right to have offspring.
If you look at the draft of the opinion on a yellow paper with pencil marks that Douglas wrote, you see in a bubble at the top of the opinion that line. So he added that after he'd written the opinion. But it did not take on the meaning, or I don't even imagine that Douglas understood that it would have that kind of meaning at the time he wrote it.
Nearly 30 years later, when the Supreme Court ruled on Roe v. Wade, it listed Skinner as one of several cases where the court had previously affirmed the existence of individual rights not explicitly listed in the Constitution, in particular, the right to make decisions about whether to have or not to have children. For KGOU, I'm Caroline Halter.